Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. We ask for your breath upon this service. We ask that not one person will leave here the same way they have come. Be glorified. Be honored. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat in the presence. Welcome everyone here this moment in the precious name of Jesus. Say a louder amen. Amen. I bring you greetings from Ankpa in Kogi State to Boko to Makurdi and then to Benue State University. It was meant to be three crusades in a week, but it's actually four as we include the Campus Revival Crusade. You will see the clip shortly. This morning, I want to speak on a very important subject. Dedication to God in soul winning - the qualities needed. Dedication to God in soul winning. Dedication to God in soul winning. Our objective is firstly to understand the necessity for soul winning, and secondly, to understand the needed qualities. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible said, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I'm reading all the way to verse 20, please. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Somebody say a loud amen. There are, by way of introduction, five things I would like to say. Number one, it is in the words of Oswald J. Smith. The supreme task of the church is the evangelization of the lost. Supreme task. Go ye into all the world. The reason why any church exists beyond coming to have services where we enjoy ourselves in the presence of the Lord, the supreme task of the church is the evangelization of the lost. Secondly, God's purpose is to saturate the earth with the God kind of people. The God kind of people. When he said to Adam, Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Earlier on, the Bible said in verse 27, God made man in his image. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And then God blessed them and said, God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. The meaning of that is, you carry my image, you carry my likeness, fill the earth with this image of God, fill the earth with this likeness. Let not the earth be filled with ritualists, the type we just heard. Let not the earth be filled with Satan, with the children of Satan and children of wickedness. Let not the earth be filled with killers and fraudsters. Fill the earth with my image. God's design is to saturate the earth with the God kind of people. Thirdly, scriptures made it clear that soul winning is the heartbeat of God. The heartbeat. In 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. Sorry, 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 9. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The winning of souls is the heartbeat of God. You remember the story of the prodigal son? The Bible said, while he was far away, still coming home, his father saw him literally from the balcony. That is how the father's eye is out looking for the prodigals of the earth to come back home. I will never forget Makurdi Crusade, where a man, a lawyer, I think he built a house in the village or something. At the end of it was that he went and ran mad, became a drunkard, became wretched, goes about on the street. When the devil left him and he was back to his senses and he stood on that altar Friday night, his sister ran out and said, he was the one who led me to Christ. He was the one who led me to Christ. He was the one, a lawyer, brilliant lawyer. Suddenly, the devil attacked him. He's now a drunkard on the street. What if that was the only reason why we went to Makurdi? The prodigals of the earth. Those with potential. Those with mercy from God that the enemy wants to render useless. The father's eye was outside when the prodigal son was returning. And beloved, as we honor him by doing what is dear to his heart, we don't struggle for honor. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30. Look at what he said. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Honor me in the winning of souls. Honor me in changing of lives. Honor me, and I will honor you. The heartbeat of God is the winning of souls. What kind of child is it that knows what is dear to the heart of the Father and does what is dear to the heart of the Father? That is earthly father now. That child will experience so much favor, so much love, and so much attention from that father. They experience what is dear to the heart of the Father. Someone say a loud amen. Finally, number four. Is that number four? Yes, number four. Soul winning is the Great Commission. Which is the great commandment that guarantees our great fulfillment. Soul winning is the Great Commission, which is a great commandment that guarantees our true fulfillment in life. No wonder the Bible said the 70 returned with joy. Was that Luke chapter 10 verse 17? In Luke chapter 10 verse 1 and 2, he sent them out into the world, appointed them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself will come. Then the 70 return with joy. Is the great commandment. Is the great commission. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. Is the great commission, which is a great commandment that guarantees our great fulfillment. Hallelujah. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. How are you fulfilled? One of the places where we went this week, I had to use my phone light on one of the evenings to prepare a message before going for the crusade. That's phone light. Because of unavailability of light. For 4 days, I didn't have warm water for bath. It was simply not available. Right? How do you do that? It's a great commandment. It's possible to just restrict yourself to where you can be comfortable. But you stepped out of helicopter and stepped into ruggedity. And then stepped back again. And then people don't see any of these things. Then they see the things that look like glamour. And they are shocked. It's the great commandment that guarantees our great fulfillment. Having said all of this, and my prayer this morning is that God will touch somebody's heart. Second level of things this morning is, why should we take soul winning seriously? Why? Number one, because it cost God his only begotten son to save the lost. It cost God his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It cost God his only begotten son. The investment for the salvation of the world is too heavy. In Isaiah chapter 53, from verse 1, I'll keep reading. He says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, if you go to verse 11, the Bible said, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He travailed and is looking forward to being satisfied at the end. Why should we win souls? Because of the cost of redemption. The cost, it cost God. Some time back, I was talking to pastors in a minister's conference. And I said to them, God did not send his son to die just to give somebody a career. That is just a waste. That is, he killed his son to give you a job. Who does that? He killed his son so that you can be popular. He killed his son so you can have money. He won't do that. He will hold you responsible for shining without saving the lost because of the death of his son. Enjoying glamour, enjoying prestige, enjoying daddy, daddy, mommy, mommy. And that's all you are doing with your life. It was very hard. Somebody say a loud amen. For the cost, what it cost God. That is why we save the lost. We may not be able to win everybody, but we'll just try our best. Just try our best. And at the end of our journey, God will know we tried. God knows we tried. Somebody say amen. Somebody saw there was a flood that pushed some fishes off the shore, off to the riverbank. And a lot of the fishes were struggling for survival. And a man decided to rescue the fishes. And he carried one, threw it back to the water. Carried another, threw it back to the water. And there were so many, it was not possible to throw everyone back into the water for survival. And somebody said, are you not wasting your time? What difference are you making? There are so plenty, you can't throw everyone back. He said, well, I may not be able to throw all of them back into the river, but I will throw as many as I can for survival. You say, I may not be able to make a difference to all the fishes, but the ones that return back to the river, I made a difference in that one's life. I made a difference in that one's life. Praise the Lord. Why is it necessary to win souls? Number two, because of the reality and eternity of hell. the reality and the eternity of hell. Hell is real and hell is eternal. There is a hell that is real, and that hell is eternal. Psalm 9 and in verse 17, the Bible said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forsake God. In Matthew 25 and in verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. Everlasting. If your hand offend you, cut it off. For it's better to go into life maimed than to go into everlasting fire, where their worms dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. That is, the worm that comes out of the body of the person in hell does not die. Give me, I believe, the Luke version or the Mark version. Where their worms dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. The hurt on the worm is the hurt on the person. You know, I preached, heaven is real and hell is real in the real one. Anybody remembers? Hell is real. So, as I was preaching hell is real, I believe it was the second service message, 5 or 6 services then. A young lady, I gave an altar call and people came to the altar. And before we could say praise the Lord, young lady slumped right in front of the altar there. You remember? Just slumped. We thought it was falling under the anointing. When the ushers came to pick her from the ground, it was like a log of wood. Gone. I preached that message, concluded, and then rushed to the back, the office, back office side, where she was with the ushers. I said, what is happening? They say, there is no movement, nothing. What we call the Glasgow Coma Scale, where you rate the level of coma a person is in. If the person was unconscious, it was 0/5. That is, if you pierce her with a knife, she is not aware. Wow. When I checked the pulse, I'm not sure whether there was a faint pulse. Then I screamed. How do you say that somebody come to the altar and slumped and just died right there? I screamed, in the name of Jesus, death spirit, come out! And then she jerked, opened her face like that, her eyes. I said, thank you, Jesus. When I saw that happened, I left for them to find out the rest. You know what she told them, the ministers and the usher? She said, as she came for the altar call, when she slumped, the next day she found herself moving in a particular direction. And she saw at the far side, people rejoicing and jubilating. And then on the other side, he saw people crying and mourning. Then he saw a man in white, an angel. And he told the angel, I like to go to where those people are celebrating and jubilating. And the angel said, the cloth you are wearing is stained. You can't go there. This is where you belong. And pointed to the other side where people were mourning. It was at that junction that she heard the voice, come out! Come back! And she jerked. Wow. I said, how will a how will such a message be preached and somebody had an experience to literally confirm that of the message that was being preached? The summary of it is, anybody you know who died without Jesus or who is living without Jesus, when they die, there is an eternal hell. The scripture cannot be broken. That is why we preach. That is why we win souls. There are more reasons, but I'll reserve that in the second service. Because of the reality and eternity of hell. Having said all of this, what qualifies a person? What are the qualities of a true soul winner? Number one, it's a genuine encounter with God. Everybody will be a winner of souls if they have a genuine encounter, a genuine encounter with God. If you have had an encounter with God that is real, an encounter with God that is authentic, an encounter with God that is genuine, an encounter with God that is deep and not superficial. Nobody will beg you to talk to people about God. Nobody will beg you to talk to people about their souls and about their eternity. In John chapter 1, verse 40 to 42, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, the Bible said, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first finded his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found a Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Andrew encountered the master. The encounter was deep to the point where he had to tell his brother, I met the Messiah. It's not possible for to meet the Messiah and not tell your brother, and not tell your classmate, and not tell your friends. You know, it's not possible. My first convert, when I rededicated my life to Christ, I led him to Christ 40 years ago this year. My classmate, who became a missionary. As soon as I experienced Jesus, encountered him, I had to rush to talk to my classmate. Knelt him down. A true encounter, a genuine encounter with God. Nobody will beg you to talk to people about Jesus. A genuine encounter. In John chapter 4 and in verse 28, we saw the woman of Samaria. All the way to verse 30. Then the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man, come see a man which told me all the things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. That was another woman that had lived with five husbands, was with the sixth. And she had a genuine encounter with the master. She couldn't stop talking about it. She had to go and command the whole city after him. Why is it that there are people who say, I am shy to talk about people? Whatever you have may not be very real. I'm sorry to say, it may not be real. It may not be deep. It may not be so. It may not be authentic. It may be shallow, superficial. Hallelujah. I had a relation of mine who was making everybody go to church. Everybody, almost like forcing everybody to go to church. At that time, some people feared his face and just followed him. But I was not doing that. I said, you know what? I can't follow you because I have not fully changed. Then I had an encounter with God overnight. When I rededicated my life to Christ on the 12th of May, 1986, for 2 hours it lasted. It was like a communication going on, half asleep, half awake. When I came out of that, I didn't need anybody to tell me that God was real. Everything changed, even clothing and dressing changed. I was a man. But then, I thought as a man, I couldn't even wear jeans at all and other such things. Everything changed. And it was effortless to talk to people. Maybe the time has come where Christians need to tell God, give me a true encounter. I have been going to church for a while, but I need an encounter with you. Hey, I am even in the choir, I'm an usher, but I need an encounter. Just show me that you are real. Do something in my life that I cannot be quiet about, Lord. Do something in my life that I cannot be quiet about, Lord. I speak to somebody here today in the name of Jesus. God will give you an encounter that is real. And if you are that person, shout the loudest amen. A genuine encounter with God. Number two is the heart of compassion and passion for souls. That heart of compassion, that heart of passion for souls will drive you into soul winning. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 39, the Bible said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And then he called his disciples. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 16, Paul the apostle speaking said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That passion and compassion for the lost. When you look around you, you see your friends, you see your loved ones, you see classmates, and you ask yourself, is this the best I can do for this person? Just to gist with them and ask about old friends. Is that the best I can do for this person? And talk about school jokes. Is this the best I can do for this person? Or your relation is asking for financial assistance. Is money the best I can do for the give this person? Is this the best I can do for this person? Will I be glad for this person to end their journey in hell? That passion, that compassion for souls drives us. Heart of passion, compassion for souls. Your heart feel for them. Number three is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. That the fire of the Holy Spirit. So in the second point, It might be crucial for somebody to say, Lord, deposit in my heart fresh passion, fresh compassion for the lost. Fresh passion. And then, this is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. There are three things the Holy Spirit can do in your life. Number one, the Holy Spirit will saturate love for God. Love and passion for God in a man's heart. Romans chapter 5 verse 5. The Bible said that the love of God, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. The more you pray in the Holy Ghost, the more love for God. And the more love for God flows, the more love for people will flow. Number two, the Holy Ghost gives us to minister with boldness and power. To talk. He imparts us the boldness and the power to speak for God. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, I just read it. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And in Acts chapter 4 verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word with boldness. With boldness. And thirdly, the Holy Ghost gives us capacity to talk, to speak with conviction. Because people need to be touched when you talk to them. In John chapter 16 verse 8, the Bible said, and when he is come, that's the Holy Spirit, he will reprove or convict the world of sin. Reprove them and make them conscious about righteousness. And even convict them of judgment. Judgment to come. That's the assignment of the Holy Spirit. So, whenever you are actually buoyant and vibrant in the Holy Ghost, it will impact on your soul winning effort. For this morning, finally, the fourth requirement, and in the second service we'll look at another four, is the God first mindset and lifestyle. The God first mindset. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. When you know that your life is first and foremost not about making money. It's not first and foremost about a job. It's not first and foremost about dress. That your life is first and foremost about God and his kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 41 verse 23, he said, these people I formed for myself, not I formed for job. I'm not against getting a job, and I'm not against making money. Actually, we make the money also, it's impactful on the kingdom. All right? I formed them for myself. I didn't form them to live for themselves. That God first mindset. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. He said, for to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is not pleasure. It's not car. It's not house. For to me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. This was the kind of thing that drove us on the campus. When I went to the medical school, I made an agreement with God. I say, Lord, I am not here because I'm going to be the first medical doctor in the world or first medical doctor in my village or anything like that. I am here first and foremost for your assignment. Lord, I am going to preach your word in this campus. All I want from you is just assist me so I don't become a reproach by failing exams. A deal was sealed. I knew I needed a course to keep me on the campus. Because I need a course to be there. I can't be there and say I'm preaching and I don't have a course. If medicine was that course. So medicine was, I was in school as a minister that needed a course to keep me there. And that course was my medical course. That was my mentality. It was a kingdom first. And God let me pass through like a tornado. Revival sparked on that campus speaks till tomorrow. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11. He said, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure they were created. That is, I was created to give God pleasure with my life. I was created to please him. I was not created to please me. I was not created to please people. That God first mindset, that God first lifestyle will make your consultation table a pulpit where you pull people from the pit of hell. Pulpit will make your business enterprise a kingdom assignment where customers and clients and partners alike are assisted to miss hell, and make heaven. Where you consider it your duty that everybody God brings your way was not brought your way by accident. Where it is kingdom first in your interactions, kingdom first in your negotiations. By the time you have done the business negotiation, then you say, please, I have something to tell you, Father. I will not be fair to you if the only thing I discuss with you is business. My conscience cannot leave me if it was only business I discuss with you. I want to talk something that goes beyond the scope of business. It's about the eternity of your soul. That is when we begin to truly live kingdom life. Where we have escaped the mundane reason for existing. Beloved, when these things are in place, then it is possible for us to win the lost and take them with us to eternity with God in heaven. What qualifies, why do we win souls? Because of the cost, what it costs God. And because of the reality and eternity of hell. What is it that makes us qualified? Number one, genuine encounter. Lord, give me an encounter that is I can't keep quiet about. Let me be real. Number two is the heart of compassion and passion for souls. Place in me a passion and compassion. Let me see people like you see them. Number three, it is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Where speaking in tongues becomes power to impact your world. Number four, it is the God first mindset and lifestyle. This is my conclusion. Number one, dedication to God in soul winning is a non-negotiable responsibility of every child of God. Non-negotiable. Dedication to God in soul winning is a non-negotiable responsibility of every child of God. Non-negotiable responsibility. Number two. And that is Matthew 16, 15 to 20. It's not negotiable. Number two. No other form of dedication to God replaces the act of soul winning. No other form of dedication to God replaces the action of soul winning. That is, I am an usher. I'm already serving God. No, sir. I am a counselor. I'm already counseling. No, ma. I'm in the choir. I'm already singing. No, sir. All that is good. But in John 15, 16, he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you that you should go. You see? They say you should stay and just help me clean the sanctuary. Do welfare. Those are all okay. But you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. I'm a kingdom financier. I give towards crusades. That's excellent. You are part of the soul winning, but you will do it directly. You will do it. You may not be able, like I said, to win everybody. You may not be able. You may even encounter so many people who will discourage you. But let it be on record in heaven that you tried your best. Let it be on record that you did what God asked you to do. Let it be on record. And I believe it's a new day. Somebody say amen. Lift up your hands and give the Lord the praise. Appreciate him. Honor him. Adore him. Worship him. Glorify him. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. Say after me, say, Father, I thank you. I honor you. And I adore you. In Jesus' name.